So who can tell me what a rissole is? Rissoles. Oh, hand. A bit like burgers. Good. What's the essential ingredient of a rissole? Why is a rissole not a burger? Blank faces. People don't want to let on. Sorry? Breadcrumbs. What sort of meat do you put in a rissole? Leftover meat you put in a rissole. What else would you put in? Oh, grated carrot, yes, maybe some vegetables, maybe leftover vegetables. Flour, maybe, breadcrumbs, maybe egg to bind it together. Yeah, that sort of thing. And then you fry them generally, don't you? Rissoles. So there we are. You're much better than at St. Peter's. They hadn't got the first idea what a rissole was there. But I haven't had a rissole for years. My grandmother used to make fantastic rissoles, and my sisters and I used to love eating rissoles when we were down visiting in Dorset, partly because they were actually really tasty, these bits of leftover meat, and partly because the word rissole is delightfully similar in a child's mind to the word gristle, and which was kind of a coincidence because that was probably mostly what was inside the rissoles. They were made of meat leftovers. And the culture of making things out of leftovers is the point that I want to get. It's changing. How we think about leftover food is changing. And maybe there's some good things, maybe there's some bad things about that, which I hope we'll talk about. But I want to go back, really, of course, to the feeding of the 5,000 people. It's one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. We know that it took place in Galilee, the area in which Jesus had grown up. And Matthew, who's just one of the four gospel writers, all of whom write about the feeding of the 5,000, Matthew says that the crowds followed Jesus, tells us that he felt sorry for them, and he set about seeing as many as he could to heal those with diseases. We also know that this was a very large crowd. Matthew points out that the 5,000 that were said to be there were just the men, besides women and children. So it's very likely that there were equally as many women and children as men, and I'd like us to imagine a crowd actually of 10,000 people, all wanting a piece of Jesus. So that's the context for this very familiar story. But thinking about this story and how familiar it is this week, it struck me that it's actually a story about leftovers, and that's why I started with the rissoles. From five small loaves and a couple of preserved fish, Jesus produced food for 10,000 people. And each of his 12 disciples collected a basket full of scraps, leftovers at the end. And for me, these leftovers tell us three different things, or have three different things for us to think about this morning. Firstly, those scraps of leftover bread and fish indicate to me that this was a miracle. It was a genuine miracle. Why would I have to tell you that? You all know it's a miracle. It's written in the Bible as a miracle. But I have heard it suggested that 10,000 people, actually some people had some food. There was plenty of food there, really. And all Jesus did was get them to sit down and encourage them to share. I don't know how you get 10,000 people to share stuff. But anyway, that's the explanation I have heard for this story. But I think the detail of the leftovers challenges that idea a bit. If everyone had food with them, why in the first place were the disciples anxious about getting food? And if it was actually nothing more than a few people sharing their picnics, why was there so much left over? I think it is a genuine miracle, and I wonder if you think it's a genuine miracle. Do you believe in miracles? And do you believe in this miracle? The stories of the miracles made a huge difference to the people at the time. Clearly, those 10,000 people, it made a difference because they had food when they wouldn't otherwise have had food. The disciples, it made a huge difference because they could see that it was a miracle. In 10,000 people, I guess that there were people who had no idea what was going on, except that Jesus had got them all to sit down and suddenly someone was handing them some food. They had their needs met whether or not they knew it was a miracle. But the disciples and the people near the front would have seen what was going on, would have seen the impact of this amazing thing. So miracles made a difference to those people, and they should be making a difference to us, today. They prompt us, just as they prompted the disciples, to ask the question, who is this man? Who is Jesus? It's one of the most important questions we can ever ask. It's a question that everyone that hears about Jesus must ask. We need to ask that question, who is this man? The Bible tells us that the people closest to Jesus who saw his miracles at first hand did indeed ask, who is this man? And the answer, their answer, changed everything. Their answer is why we're here today. So consider the leftovers when you read this story, because it's evidence. 10,000 people fed from 5 loaves and 2 fish. Who is this man? What's your answer this morning? The second thing I thought about when reading about the leftovers in the story was the fact that the disciples actually collected the leftovers at the end of the picnic. They weren't going to let the food go to waste. On that hillside in Galilee, Jesus had shown that he was able to create food for the large crowd. Creation is something that God does. Creation of food is even more specifically something that God does for people. Food is a precious gift. Wasting food is no way to treat a precious gift. And so the disciples collected together the leftovers. The reason my grandmother made rissoles was because she wanted to ensure that there was no waste, usually from a large piece of meat which we would eat on a Sunday. Sorry if you're not a meat eater, but we did. And what she would do was we'd have the meat on that day, we'd have it cold the next day, maybe something like a shepherd's pie the day after that, and then she'd be sort of really scraping around, sweeping the floor, putting anything she could in to make the rissoles, and then she would make soup out of the bone at the end of it. So there was absolutely no waste. And one of the reasons for that was that she thought that food was precious. And one of the key drivers for that was that rationing was still a recent memory from the war, where food was really scarce and wasting food was actually a national scandal. So saving leftovers and making something of them was an obsession, a national obsession, and it took years for that to wear away. But we've got plenty of reasons not to waste food, if you have it, today as well. It's impossible to be unaware of the vast numbers of hungry people in the world. It's impossible to be unaware of the large numbers of hungry people right here in Lewisham. According to the United Nations, 21,000 people die every day from hunger or hunger-related causes. That's one person every 4 seconds, and they're mostly children. Why doesn't Jesus do something about it? That's twice as many people as he fed in Galilee on that day. So why, if he could do it then, why doesn't Jesus do something miraculous and stop it? The story of the disciples should remind us why it isn't always up to Jesus. The first thing Jesus actually said when the disciples said, look at all these people, send them away and so they can get food, was, you give them something to eat. And I think that's what Jesus would say to us today if we say, why don't you do something about this hunger? The story of the disciples collecting the leftovers should remind us that it is up to us. Oxfam says there is more than enough food grown in the world to feed everyone. More than enough. It's not that we'd all have to eat just a little bit. There is more than enough. They also, Oxfam, say that half of the food produced is wasted. Half of what the world produces in food goes to waste. Wasting food is a scandal, and I think we can all be playing a small part in ensuring that food waste is minimized. Perhaps we all need to be reminded that the food we have is a gift from God. It's precious. The disciples played their part by gathering up the leftovers, and I imagine they were thinking of fish cakes rather than rissoles. And I think we should play our part too. What will you change to help you value the gift of food this week? The last thing that spoke to me from the leftovers in the story is about the way that God gives gifts. Food is a gift from God. God gives gifts to people. How does he do that? The fact that the disciples collected leftovers shows us that Jesus provided more than enough food. Why do you think that is? This is a miracle. Why didn't Jesus miraculously provide exactly the right amount for everybody so there wasn't any left over? That would have been fantastic. Well, perhaps in this miraculous provision, God was providing enough specifically because the disciples and some of those people would need another meal later. I don't know. However, what I do know is that elsewhere in the Bible, it's made very clear that the way God gives gifts to his people is actually superabundant. It's not only just enough. A familiar example of this is in Psalm 23, that very familiar psalm that we sing quite a lot in hymns. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, it says. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. My cup isn't only just slightly full with enough to keep me going, it overflows. So this is the way that God wants to give to us. I wonder if that affects the way that we ask for things for God. What do we expect when we pray? I think it's really easy to find ourselves managing our expectations. It's become a bit of a modern management phrase, managing expectations, making sure people don't think that they're going to get something when in fact you're going to give them something else. So I wonder if we actually manage our expectations when we come before God to pray. God's probably not going to answer, and if he does, it might not be quite what I'm asking for, might be in our minds. Better not get your hopes up. The feeding of the 10,000 people and the 12 baskets of leftovers remind us that our God gives us gifts that are beyond our imaginations. He loves to give in a way that exceeds our needs and exceeds our expectations. The most important expression of God's generosity to us is the way in which he gives his own son, Jesus, so that people like us can find a way into God's kingdom, people like you and people like me. The Apostle Paul, in another of his letters, says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" God's interested in all of our needs, and he's interested in meeting our needs. And that brings us to the first reading today, which was about another letter by Paul praying for the people's needs in Ephesus. And that in that reading, Paul describes our God as someone who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. Immeasurably more. I wonder if that's our experience of God, someone who gives us more than we want, more than we can imagine, more than we can even think to ask for. I've got an additional quiz question, other than the ones that Bridget's going to ask. And I just wonder whether anybody has noticed that a relatively new member of our church thinks so much of this phrase, immeasurably more, that she's had it tattooed on her arm. That's a clue. That narrows it down by half on the gender scale. Anybody notice who's got immeasurably more tattooed on their arm? Watch out. I'm not going to give you the answer. You'll have to watch out and see if you can find her. It's not me because it's a she. Immeasurably more. What difference would it make to us if we kept that in our minds? And our experience of God might be different. I'm not sure whether Rissoles will ever make a comeback. I'm glad to see that people who are younger than me have their hand up when I say, "What's a Rissole?" That's really good. But whether Rissoles will ever make a comeback in terms of culinary preferences, I'm not sure. However, I do hope that we'll take notice of the leftovers. I hope we'll take notice in our day-to-day lives in order to reduce waste of food, and I pray also in our spiritual lives that we'll take notice of the leftovers as we experience that our God loves to give us unexpected gifts, immeasurably more than we can ask for or even imagine. There's a regular, as you probably have clicked, series of prayers in the Church of England called collects. We had one this morning. And a couple of weeks ago, this was the collect, and I thought it was appropriate. So let's pray this one together. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.